What's up, everybody? Today we're talking Terry Crews, sexual confession, and a lot more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
We have no music, and we're going to dance anyway with nothing.
Oh, there we go. Trina, there we go. Trick Daddy, Paradise, what?
Turn it up.
Right, right. On that. This is a summer song, though.
Yes, it is. You know what I mean? It feels very summer. But they are in Miami.
They are in Miami.
Where it's always sunny.
Where it's always sunny.
It's always sunny. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I am your host, Dario Kristen. Joining me today in black, she got the memo. Courtney Stewart.
I got the memo. What's up, y'all? I thought it was fall, but then I came outside and it was 75 degrees. So
right.
Psych.
So I'm hot.
Right, you hot. Right, right. We got DJ Jesse J, who did not read the memo.
Oh, I read it and said, I don't care. What up, y'all? Showing up in blue.
And our very special guest today, you know him very well. He's actor Bijan Rodin right now in the house.
Hey,
all the way from Canada.
Yep, I got the memo way out there.
You got
yes,
the memo
way
out there. Okay. Where you at?
And he got the season right too, with the t-shirt and the short sleeves.
Okay.
He's like, it's summer, y'all.
Right.
Good.
It's probably warmer here than Canada, though.
Paradise.
Oh, way warmer.
Way warmer.
I'm going to assume that that's a big yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's go with that.
It's always hard coming off the plane because, you know, I'm coming in a winter jacket and then I land and I'm like,
California.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, hi, yeah, I'm from Canada. Hi, how you doing? But
he's like, listen, it's way too warm here, right?
This ain't natural.
Mm-hmm. You got your show on Sci-Fi Van Helsing.
Yep.
Doing big things with it. It started back in October. The season's kind of almost through.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun stuff on that show we're going to get into and have you tell us about a new project, too.
Yeah.
But first, what we're going to do is to get into some hot topics.
First, what we're going to do.
All right. So Eve is over at The Real. You know what I mean? Keeping it real.
Real.
The talk, boo.
Oh, I'm sorry, the talk. same thing.
They
just a little older.
Yes.
She was there and she was talking about Nicki Minaj. You know, you have seen the paper magazine with Kim Kardashian's booty and all this. So, you know, it's kind of a little scandalous. And Nicki Minaj graced to the cover this week. And apparently, as Twitter uses it, breaks the internet.
Yeah.
I didn't think it really broke anything. Yeah. It was just kind of like, and people are like in an uproar of this. And I'm like, we're mad at this? Like, would we expect anything different from Nicki Minaj?
I don't know how we're not, like, really desensitized to things like this. I kind of just looked at it, and I just kept scrolling. I'm like, all right.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, I didn't even think anything about it. I mean, I thought, wow, I like the picture, but I didn't think anything else about it.
I mean, kept it pushing.
I mean, kept it pushing. It wasn't like I was shocked.
I was like, oh, my God, I see Nicki Minaj's titties.
Wow. Oh, no, it's her booty. What's going to happen?
I've seen
that before.
Yeah.
Right, like, leg spread, tongue out, like. So, anyway.
I was more shocked that Eve joined
the talk.
Yes,
exactly.
I was more shocked about that, actually.
But
she's a permanent fixture now.
Yeah, which is interesting. And I love me some Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Eve. But she came out to say, you know, she loves Nicki as a person. She loves her as an artist. She's worked with her, and she thinks she's great. She said, however, she disagrees with her doing a cover like this because she remembers coming up and saying, now here's my thing though, Eve. She remembers coming up and saying that I realized that I was a role model to women. And so, you know, maybe this isn't the best light to showcase yourself as a woman with this deep in your career.
Well,
now I'll give Eve, like, she wasn't out here, Lil Kim, legs spread, tongue out, you know what I mean? She just had her little
tattoos,
kitty paws, tattoos.
The paws,
you know,
the paws, meow.
You're
paws.
A little happy about that over there.
I'm already, my mind was racing in many different ways. Yeah, I was like, let me just keep it. We just started, let me stay.
But it goes to the point of saying sex sells. I mean, you know, look at somebody like Eve, who to me is one of the most slept on female hip hop artists.
I would agree with that.
I like her music. I like her career, but I feel like it didn't really go anywhere because she didn't really navigate herself within the marketing world. I mean, she had her first two albums that were kind of Well, the first one, I was really into it. Then the two following were very commercial, and then she kind of fell off. And I think it was because she kind of moved away from
the
industry.
She did her TV show.
She did a TV show, and then she got more into being like fashion, like more of a fashionista route, too.
And then she found her man.
And then she found her man.
Real good one. She was like, deuces. But a lot of people were coming for her on Twitter saying, like, but you were sexy, and you had your tatas out, and you were dancing around, whatever.
With her and Stevie J. I don't know if she, you know, was involved in the recording of it, but, well, she was involved, I mean, in the getting out of it.
I wouldn't compare that.
At some point. But that's the point. She also said that particularly in the current environment, was that maybe not the best decision for Nicki to make. And I think that's something we should maybe consider, or that it would have been nice had she considered, because it's like, it's not like Nicki was doing something new and shocking. Like, oh, I'm naked and I'm showing my butt cheeks. Like, to like push some envelope. Like, you didn't push an envelope. Yeah. Like, you didn't do anything new, different, or bring anything new to the conversation about sexy and sexuality or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think just, you know, all that's going on and with the Me Too marches going down right now and like all that, like, it just seems out of place. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked to see something else.
So what, would you like her to be in a full dress and given a different message?
Yep, turtleneck and all. Just
that would have been definitely
wrapped like
surprising.
A Christmas tree. And you're like, wow, Nicki's in like a
there's
suit.
A lot of other creative ideas that you could have come up with 100%. Other than making your own vagina and sticking your butt cheek out.
Wait, those aren't the only two options.
This late in your career, we get the play on Menage a Trois with you.
You know, I mean, but that's your name, girl. We don't know that since you came out.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not.
Yeah, we heard it before.
And Nicki, you've been around now for a minute. Like, this isn't like.
We need evolution.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, girl, just try something else. You know, put on a suit. Maybe, you know.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Maybe that's
now, see, actually, Nicki Minaj in, like, a pantsuit.
It would be amazing. Just like when she
and I'll even give her that she could have, like, no
sexy,
shirt underneath.
Yeah, a little
like,
sexy.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? You could still be sexy. It was just, but she was really, like, out there. I mean, she straight had pasties on, was licking her own badge, and, like, was on. I was like, okay.
I mean, I it was one of those pictures that, you know, you do, even though you're scrolling, you're like, wait, is that?
Dario framed that shit on his wall, but.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Okay. I was like, okay.
I was like, wait, okay.
Well, and you brought up the Me Too marches. So there's a conversation that's been kind of going around. And this actually worked out perfectly to talk about the Nicki Minaj thing. Using the word bitch in verse ho, the conversation stems from hip-hop and just kind of the demeanor in which men treat black women. In hip hop, specifically, when a white woman is called a bitch or a hoe, it comes off derogatory. It comes off, we look at the Harvey Weinstein situation. You know, as soon as he gets outed, he has all these repercussions. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a black woman, you know, and she's called a bitch or a hoe, it's kind of like a, well, yeah, that's what we're. It's hip hop. It's art. This is what we say. And are we hiding? Are we masking behind saying, well, you know what? It's art. This is what these men, you know, do. But we've created a culture now that is so desensitized to calling women bitches, hoes. I know that I'll be first one to be like, hey, bitch, you know, not in a negative way, but it's a word now that we use and it's in our culture. And, you know, we make up these words like, well, it's okay if you use it because she's my bitch. Like, okay, well, then when he's like, no, she's my bitch, and it's a little more aggressive, you know, how do you balance it? It comes down to almost like our conversation with the N-word of like, do you use it? And then not only that, but then we're pushing the negative part towards a specific race. What do you guys think about hip-hop specifically kind of claiming that word and using that towards women?
This is like this
what
is
y'all
deep.
Think? It's a loaded question. Like, that's a lot. It's layered.
It's so layered.
It's layered
because it's like it stems from someplace.
But Bijan, what was your first reaction to
my
that?
My first reaction. This might sound bad, but like it's up to, I believe, you know, the individuals to, you know, really siphon through what's harmful to yourself and others and what's not. If I listen to a song and I hear people saying bitches and hoes, I don't really think anything of it. You know what I mean? If I don't really think anyone should take it too personally, it's just a vibe. It's just an atmosphere. It's just in my mind, it's just for entertainment and fun, and no one should really take it too seriously. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, unless you're literally calling someone a bitch, like you fucking bitch, then it's different. You know what I mean?
Are you not allowed to cuss on the show? No, I'm just playing.
I'm messing
with you. I'm joking. Say what you want.
The topic is called Bitch and Ho. Don't swear.
Right. Don't swear.
But yeah. So.
Yeah. It's rough.
Here's the thing. It's, you know, the NWA versions of Bitch and Hoes is different than I think of just of, you know, Nicki Minaj or Jay-Z or somebody saying, I went to the club and saw this B, you know, or whatever. But the NWA version, well, yeah. I do. I think so. I mean, NWA was talking about slap a B.
But where does that all stem from? You know what I'm saying? Like when Jay-Z's like, yo, look at that bitch over there. That's the same bitch that NWA wants to slap the bitch.
Jay-Z ain't gonna slap a bitch.
He's still gonna be like, you a bitch.
Okay, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe because I think of it being gangsta, you know, rap, that I put it in a different category. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're right. I mean, maybe it isn't a difference. To me, it is. But maybe really, theoretically,
Solange
it isn't.
Felt like she needed to slap a bitch on the elevator. So she was like, I'm wondering what Jay-Z really thinks.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah.
Well, he didn't slap her, so.
Right, he did not.
He
right.
isn't there. Mm. But, I mean, I don't know. Because with the N-word, for me, it's a little clearer than with the bitches and hoes. Just because, I mean... Well, it's debatable, I guess. You could say bitch and hoe has been used to sort of suppress a whole group of people, but I don't know. But I'm definitely guilty. I call my best friend a bitch and a hoe all the time.
Do you use one more than the other, or do you use both equally? No, we go, but
it's very specific. But there are girlfriends that I would never say bitch or hoe to.
Right.
But literally, like, my best friend, like, you look through our texts, you're like, oh, where? I'm drunk. And, right? Like, whatever. So it's, like, stuff we say all the time, and it's definitely a term of endearment. But we will be in an environment, and we have been in one situation where somebody turned around and said, tell that bitch to walk home, and we...
I was like, I'm sorry, am I that bitch?
Okay, and it's a problem. So it's context, and words are context. And people have that same argument about the N-word, that it's contextual and it's different now and it means different things and it's possible. But I feel like there's a different layer on that just because of where we are history-wise.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard. I mean, is it great to call somebody a bitch and a hoe? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should just try to not do that. But I haven't been able to pull that off, so I can't really be judging them.
Like, is it like almost like how Eve was saying about Nicki Minaj? It's like, okay, like I get it. Like it's a part of like what we've used, but now as adults and humans, we have to look at it. Be adult and human and choose other words.
Yeah,
you know.
There's a lot of other words.
There's a lot of other words. But just like I was saying earlier about the F word, sometimes when I'm with my girl and I'm like, "Bitch, you did what?" Like, there's nothing that comes out the same as "bitch" in that moment.
Yeah. Right.
So,
right.
Do I necessarily think that it's? It's one thing if that's at home, but then again, when you put it in music and you're just sort of using it loosely all the time with anybody and everybody, and people start to feel freer to say it in a more open circumstance, and maybe to people that they don't have certain relationships with, then maybe that's where the problem is. I don't know, but I don't know, y'all. I'm failing.
No, I mean, I see where you're coming from. It's interesting because of the fact that we have, like you said, used it in our music and different forms of entertainment that has basically sort of desensitized it a bit. But on the flip side, it is a bigger problem and a bigger issue overall. I mean, theoretically, because it is calling people outside of their names, you know. I mean, and also, is this something that is just focused more on our culture? Because I have heard white people I've seen white girls call their girlfriends, you know, I don't hear hoe as much, but maybe, you know.
Yeah. I might hear slut.
In derogatory, yeah. Yeah. You slut.
Yeah,
right, maybe
yeah,
slut.
Yeah, they'll probably
right.
say slut.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Slut.
I mean,
right.
Kardashians on TV calling each other slurs all day, every day.
They made up
their own slur to each other.
That's
so,
true.
But is that something that we've, as women, sort of, did we take it and try to flip it because it was used against us in a patriarchal society about sexuality? And like, so we decided, oh, you ain't gonna call me a slut and make me feel no kind of way about it because now I'm gonna use this and me and my girls, whatever. So is that the same? Because that's the same argument as the N-word.
Yeah.
We flipped it and used it in our own whatever. But it's culture, it's language, it's gonna be problematic. And it's still gonna be used. And I don't see it being deleted
anytime soon. I'll put
not
it like that.
Probably not.
But, you know, we could put quarters in a jar every time we say it and be like, okay, I'm going to get better. I'm not going to say it as much.
Start a savings account.
Right. Stock up at Citibank real quick.
Yeah, I ain't a fan of Citibank, but that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. I was like, that's a whole other different segment of subject.
You're not a fan of Citibank. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to over that. You could go and find probably later somewhere a tirade of Jesse and Citibank.
Yeah, just tweet Jesse and find out why he doesn't like Citibank.
Why doesn't he like Citibank?
Because I actually want to know. But
I'm kind of curious now, but we're not going to. Okay, we're not going to go. Okay, we're not going to go. We're going to move on. We're going to move on to some people who are not happy with J. Crew right now. This makes me sad, but whatever. Anyway, so there was an ad that was released with the company Madewell, which is a part of J. Crew. And there's a beautiful model who is a black woman, for those of you guys who can't see the picture because you're listening to us. And her hair was styled in what would be termed as a messy bun for a white girl. But it didn't quite translate for black folks. And all the black girls on Twitter got pissed off and started tweeting the hell out of J. Crew. Like, how are you not going to hire somebody that knows how to do black hair? This model's hair looks a mess. Y'all are insensitive. Y'all ain't nothing. Y'all is this, that, and the other. Your mama needs to die. Like, they were just going in on J. Crew. Like, they were upset, okay? So J. Crew, well, the model actually responded, and she said that she wasn't actually, like, offended by the styling of the shoot because she felt like it went along with Madewell's messy look that was done as a purpose. It was done on purpose as a part of Madewell's unfussy and effortless aesthetic. So she felt like it was the aesthetic of the brand that she was modeling for, and she felt good about it. But J. Crew still decided to release an apology to everybody that was offended by their artistic choices. And the apology said, J. Crew strives to represent every race, gender, and background. We sincerely apologize for the styling of this model and the offense that was caused. We assure you that we are taking steps to address it and to prevent this from happening again. And then some of Black Twitter still went in on their apology and kept dragging them, saying, like, how could they not know this was not okay, blah, 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 blah. But people was real upset. Y'all mad at her? Y'all are mad at that look.
I'm not mad at the look per se. I mean, it looks a little bit more raggedy to the left. The right one, I wouldn't have felt anything about because it looks very much like a lot of ways a lot of girls I see wear their hair who are African American or women of color. But on the flip side, I know, listen, I got a sister and a mama who are very sensitive about their hair and the way it looks. So I know that this, they would have had a fit if they saw this. I would love to have my mom's opinion on this. She would have said, she need to fix them edges up to the right a little bit. You know? But it does. It's the look. I mean, you know, it's a look. It's
what they were going
for. It's fashion. It's a look. It's not like if every black model that's in a J. Crew ad had this same look all the time and hair was looking crazy all the time, I'd be like, okay, yeah, they might need to.
Come
on, you know, call L.A. Hair or something. But you know, but call L.A. Hair or something. Put them on that reality show. Angela, we need you.
Get out
but
here.
This is fashion. I mean, I wouldn't have thought.
You wouldn't have thought nothing about it. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the difference is that, like, when you look at the white girl, you look at her and you're like, she probably goes outside like that. But then you look at this girl, and anyone who's black, you know, knows that you probably wouldn't go outside like that. Right. You know, so I think that's where a lot of
the
anger came through, right?
Yeah. I guess that's fair. My response to it was, oh, I totally get it, because my mama, my grandma, my aunties, and everybody would be like, if you don't get back there, brush your hair.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And add some tracks to make that a whole bun, because like, there's one picture where you see the side and the bun, and it ain't really a bun because you got a little short hair. But then there was the other part of me that has been natural since before it was cool to be natural, and I know that there's a level, and some y'all might come for me for
this. No, I agree.
But there's a level of self-unacceptance that black women have about their hair, because we're constantly being like, that would be unkempt for us.
Right, exactly.
And they feel like there's a level of judgment that goes along with that. And that's part of the reason why black women are so sensitive about the hair, especially when the hair is in their natural state, because it appears unkempt, because what is like nice and acceptable is smoother.
Right.
So part of me was sort of like, why aren't we to the place yet where that's actually cool? Because if I'm keeping it all the way real, Jesse, you don't see my hair just like this for like the last week.
I was going to say, I know a lot of women.
I didn't want to call you out, Courtney, but I've seen your hair
you
like
know
that
what I'm
before.
Like all the time. And that's part of my going natural when I did.
Right.
Y'all have seen some of the BHL guests who have come in here.
You know? But it's sad because I, like you said, my hair is like this often, and I have to, I actually think about it. Like, if I have to go walk my dog at 8:30 in the morning, I don't want to, like, gel down and get the smooth edges going on and get all of that. I would like to do my messy bun and put it up, but it's going to be some stuff coming out of it and it's going to be doing a thing. But like, if we see a white girl like that, we're like, oh, she's got bed head. It's like sex hair. Yeah. Like, that's a thing. Yeah, but a black girl look a mess. Right. And that's been conditioned to us to tell us that. Yeah. That's not something we accepted and decided. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because they were on TV One talking about it and all these black women with all their braids. And how did they not be sensitive enough to recognize? But nobody said, like, yo, why are we still not to the place where we're okay with our edges not being perfectly smoothed out? Because that's not what it is.
Not one person?
Not one. They did say, like, don't shame her for her hair. The goal should be, like, not to shame her. But the broader concept is that we still don't accept that that is what our hair would be if we're in a messy bun. Mm-hmm. We just kind of put it together and came from the gym or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have to be conscious about that all the time, like, I just want to go to the gym. That's why I'd be having to go to the gym over there, because somebody, I might run into somebody I know. And, you know, I don't have it all together all the time.
And I was going to say, I wonder if J. Crew doing this destigmatizes.
It's not together all the time. So anyway,
J. Crew doing this destigmatizes that a little bit, in a sense of that they're trying to make, like, put it in a high fashion kind of culture.
Right. Yeah.
And to put it out there and give, and I mean, I, so I understand both sides of it, but it's like, she looks beautiful.
She does.
Like,
gorgeous.
Gorgeous, yeah.
If she's, anyone it's can the work that.
It's the bohemian look.
Yeah.
It almost looks like something Tracee Ellis Ross would rock or would have rocked at some point on one of the shows.
Maybe. Except we would have accepted it because Tracee's hair is longer and the bun would have been fuller and the edges would have been laid a little bit different because she's got more hair. So it's just, I don't know. I just would encourage us to love our sisters in their natural hair state a little bit harder.
I say that people are being a little bit too harsh. It's a fashion ad. It's not, it's, you know, she doesn't go outside like that every day,
but
even if she did.
I will say, though, that if it was not a black hairstylist that approved it, or somebody that is familiar and does black hair on a regular basis, that then gets to question, like, were you really going for that? Or is that just kind of what happened and you didn't know any better?
I have to, and I would think that's what they were trying to go for, though. I have to think that they were
We don't know. So
we don't know, but
walk away from
I'd be
that.
Curious. I'd be curious.
I'd be curious.
All right. I'm also curious about a movie that's about to come out, and I'm super excited because the original was one of my faves. I still got the DVD, and yes, I still watch DVDs and got a DVD player in my bedroom. So Taraji P. Henson, it was announced this week that she's got a new film that she's going to be working on. She's doing a remake of the movie that was called What Women Want. It was originally directed by Nancy Meyers, and it starred Mel Gibson, and the original concept was basically Mel Gibson was an asshole. Oops, surprise. He worked at, he was working at an ad agency
right?
And he was basically like a jerk. He was a jerk to women and didn't understand women. Mm. And an accident happens when he's like experimenting with some products that he has to write ads about. And he gets struck by lightning or something. Whatever it is, he can start to hear women's thoughts. And it sort of changes his whole concept of how he deals with his daughter, how he deals with business. He falls in love with Helen Hunt, and it's like a whole thing. And it's a really cute movie. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. So Taraji is taking on the role, basically, that Mel Gibson played, and it's kind of a switch. She is going to play a female sports agent who's been constantly boxed out by her male colleagues, and she gains the power to hear men's thoughts. She's able to then shift the paradigm to her advantage as she races to sign NBA's next superstar. Will Power Packer and James Lopez are going to produce this, and Taraji's executive producing, and we'll be seeing this in January of 2019.
I'm sure it'll be great. Well, plus, you know, everything that Will touches anyway, he's just
he's been making gold right now. She's got a lot lined up in the next, like, year and a half. She's got a whole lot of stuff coming out. I'm like, girl, you be working hard in the hiatuses from Empire, because Empire is, when you want a full weekly show like that, that's a lot of work for a lot of months, and then your off time, you making all these movies, get it.
Checks, honey. Good for her. Yeah, it looks like it'll be good.
Can't wait to hear the men's thoughts.
Yeah, you know, that was the first. That was the first thing I thought about. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I'm really ready.
No, especially that it's a sports in the sports world.
I want to. They're
gonna go there. I'm sure.
I didn't see the writer yet. I'm curious who's writing it because I haven't. I couldn't find who's writing it yet, but I'm curious because I want to know what y'all thinking. And I'll read your mind.
We're gonna see what's gonna happen with that one. There's a lot going on right there. You might not want all that information.
That was my first thought. I'm like, ooh, girl.
Be singing for the rest.
We already, because y'all put a lot of stuff out there that we don't even want to know as it is.
Right, you think you want
to
know.
And you like to really know what's going on.
may not want to know.
turn lesbian real quick. Real like,
this is what he might be thinking about.
And when's it come out? Next
January
year?
January 2019.
Okay.
Because it'll start shooting way. Next year.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got a year. A little over a year.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
All right, our man Terry Crews, we spoke about him a couple weeks ago in reference to everything that's going on right now with all this, it seems to be sex scandal in Hollywood, started with Harvey Weinstein, and it has just been a tornado since then. I mean, every day I go on the news and it's somebody else who is about to report, female, male.
It's in the government, it's in Hollywood.
Everyone, government, everything. So Terry Crews spoke about an incident that he had at a entertainment event party last year. He was with his wife, and apparently there was a pretty big agent there who touched his genitals. And as everybody's kind of been speaking about this, he came forward and spoke about saying, "Hey, listen, I'm a male, and this happens to us too. And you know, we just need to kind of fix the problem as a whole in the business in general." Well, this week he's been kind of doing a couple circuits and speaking about it even more. He appeared this week on GMA, where he also revealed the assailant.
Yes, he did.
It's been a lot of talk in Hollywood about this because this is pretty major. Because this person is named Adam Bennett. He is the alleged groper, and he is he works at William Morris Endeavor. He's one of the lead agents head of motion pictures. I mean, he's the big dog.
Big dog.
So Crews said this when he was speaking. He said, he said this about Adam. He said, he's connected to probably everyone I know in the business. Here's the thing. I did not know this man. I never had a conversation with him. He said, I knew of him, but the first time I ever had an interaction with him was at that event. He's also been tweeting out a lot this week, and he said, the whole thing with Harvey Weinstein has given me PTSD. Why? He says, because this is the kind of thing that has happened to me. So he's been very vocal, and you know, naming the person is even, you know, that's pretty major, especially for a lot of people who are talking about him being an African-American man, and, you know, what will this do to his career? I'd be curious to know, because when I first saw this and thought about it, I really was like, wow, that's a bold move, because you are in a place where the person you're naming has such power. And I still, you know, we all still know that there's a separation between white and black in Hollywood, and being a male. So how will that affect him? Will this be something that will help, you know, his career in some way? Or will this be something that sets him back, you know, because will people put a judgment on him because of moving forward with this?
I was literally talking on the phone with my friend about this before even coming here, and he thinks it's bold because he thinks his career might be done.
Yeah,
he thinks that might be a wrap, which sucks because he's amazing and he's so entertaining and he's unbelievable to watch, and it's just like that, gone.
Yeah.
Right?
I wonder... I don't know. When it first kind of came out, I was like, I don't know. But now, as things have sort of continued to unfold, I think much less that it's a career killer for him and for anybody else that's coming out at this point. Because I kind of feel like, at first, it's kind of like when all the Cosby ladies were coming out. It's kind of like, it's still that like, who, what, nah, right. that didn't really, nah, right. we don't really.
Didn't really happen.
I feel like now the fact, like literally you pick up, or there's an ant under every rock. Like somebody's coming out with something, everybody. And there's so much. And I think that people are actually starting to sort of think, like I had a friend post on Facebook about, is it true that every woman, like one friend believes every woman has probably been groped in a time that she didn't want to be groped. And then the other friend was like, I would say some women. And every woman under that post, it was like 1,000 women, every woman has been groped or touched in a way that she did not request, did not ask for, or did not want. And I think it's sort of like, when white folks got Trump in the office that didn't expect that to happen. And they were like, what? Racism and like Klan members are out? Like, that's still a thing? I feel like men are just now starting to really see, oh, this whole sexual harassment thing. Oh, this is like a real thing. Like, that happens.
Like, women are bothered
all the time.
I agree. Right.
Yeah.
I agree,
so I feel like it's a cultural shift. And for that reason, I feel, will it be the same career? Maybe not. But as the last I read, I'm pretty sure they said he's been suspended.
Adam. Adam Bennett. Excuse me. What's his? It's Vennett, yes. Adam Vennett, he actually has been,
he's been suspended. So I feel like now, and then watching what happened with Kevin Spacey, like the fact that that movie that was about to come out, they literally said, oh, we about to reshoot your part. It's coming out next month.
And put in Chris Plummer.
Yeah. Like, that's mind-blowing in terms of what people are now willing to do in the business to, like, not be associated with the mess. So I feel like we are... I mean, and fingers crossed, like, in a place where an actual massive shift is finally starting to happen.
What's also interesting with it is Vennett, his two of the clients that he has are Brett Ratner and Dustin Hoffman, who are now also been
abused.
Put on the spotlight for allegations of sexual harassment.
And Wonder Woman saying she ain't gonna do the second one if Ratner's involved. Yeah, like, that's a big deal. She's like, no, absolutely not. I won't do it unless he has been bought out or whatever his stake is in the franchise. She won't do it. So, and they're looking at that like, well, son, that's like an $800 million movie. We don't have to do something about that. Like that, and the idea that anybody's even considering that is something that I think 2 years ago we would have never thought would happen.
But do you, okay, so do you think that it's going to make a really big change in just entertainment business? It doesn't have to be politics, wherever it is. Do you think that this is, because are we going to start to be desensitized about this too? Because now we're just hearing report after report after report after report. And are we going to start to be like, okay, this is a temporary change, but then eventually it's like, okay, there's just somebody else who's saying
something. I hope it scares people a little bit.
I think it'll scare people for a little bit. I think it will.
I think it'll scare people a little bit. And I think there will be some sufficient change because it's affecting people's pockets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like that idea, as sad as it is, moves people. But I think the issue is much deeper than Hollywood as a business and whatever. I think it's a cultural issue between man and woman and patriarchy and power. What that power means. And I don't know if we'll ever actually address that. I don't even know how we would really go about addressing it.
Yeah, I mean, like, at this point,
because I definitely like, it's funny because these conversations are going on with friends and it's all over the place and whatever. And they're asking like, and I have some male friends that are like, well, I can't even like, I'm scared to touch a chick.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't know how to... And I've definitely had guy friends that roll up and we come in and I'll get a hug and a kiss on the face. Like, and it's not something I asked for. It's sometimes it's like, whoa, you kissed me. But I know you don't intend to do anything harm. You know what I'm saying? But like the idea that now men are actually thinking like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that either. Because technically you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So it's just a weird... I think that... I think it's conversations that we have to keep having and like people have to be uncomfortable. And I don't necessarily know that generationally it'll happen like now because suddenly we'll overturn everything that is patriarchal society and like everything will be great and right and everything again, but it might take us raising our children a little bit differently with eyes open in a different way, so maybe we won't see a full change until like 30 years from now 50 years from now
or something, but
I don't know.
The conversation started, so that's half the battle.
Yeah,
you know, and it's,
and at least if we can get it out of the workplace, started. Like if I can go to work and not see your dick, thank you. I appreciate being able to go to work and not having you flip your friend out in my face.
Let me not say, hey, because Courtney, how you doing?
If we can get the basics, like the basics, like keep in your pants,
We'll start there.
Like, keep digging your pants and, you know, don't touch people that you ain't friends with like that. So, right.
That's true. We'll start there. We'll start there.
It's like kindergarten.
Baby steps.
Everybody keep their hands to themselves and keep your penis in your pants.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our last topic of the day. Cards Against Humanity. Have you guys played that?
Yeah.
Yes. I have.
It's one of my favorite games.
Love it.
So they are actually making, to me, a pretty political, ballsy move. They have a campaign that they're trying to save the world right now. So we obviously know them for the raunchy game. You know, you play, you get your little black cards and put down, you know, get to pick whatever raunchy statement you want to make, and there's a judge. Well, they are they're saying that they bought the land on the U.S. border to block President Trump from building a wall, because we all know that Trump been talking about building this wall for minutes, right?
What?
So the Chicago-based company said on their website, actually, customers...
It was a big
printout. Customers could contribute to the wall, the wall blocking project, with a $15 purchase for surprise gift package. The program sold out within hours, so they've been, you know, they killed it. And this is what the site also said. It said, Donald Trump is a preposterous Gollum, who is afraid of Mexicans.
It was so good.
He is so afraid that he wants to build a $20 billion wall that everyone knows will accomplish nothing. They said, so we've purchased a plot of vacant land on the border and retained a law firm specializing in eminent domain to make it as time-consuming and expensive as possible for the wall to get built. I mean,
wow.
And they also have applied to trademark Trump's favorite term, fake news. They're going at him. They're going at him. I love it. I love
That's
it.
That's amazing.
What do you guys
think? I
appreciate
it. I think when I read that, I was like, I love life. Like, you make me happy again. And then the other part of me said, how we know y'all really bought that land and y'all just not using this as a ploy to get more people to buy Cars of Humanity because I have a conspiracy, you know, capitalism theory. Man, I was like, sure. I want to see the receipt. Okay. Number one.
You should start that tweet.
And then,
show me the receipt.
And then number two, my next concern was, I get it. Like, you hire the law firm for eminent domain, whatever, make it expensive as possible for him to have to do it. Honey, that's my money.
I was just going to say,
that's
like,
my tax money.
That's true.
Like, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But I get the, like.
What's Canada like right now? Right.
You know? Listen, I always say, I want to move to Toronto.
I'm going to have to become a Canadian citizen or something because I don't know. But.
I'll say, hey, real quick. Yeah. Hey, I'll be there.
Deuces.
Deuces. I'm out.
Yeah, but it's a thought that counts, right? Like conceptually, the idea.
It's a great idea.
It's
genius conceptually. Whoever thought of this was they deserve a raise.
It's great
for sure. Yeah. So we'll see. Trump has not tweeted or had a comment about this one yet, but we'll see. I'm sure it's coming.
I'm never using Cards Against Humanity ever. It's a stupid
game.
It's a stupid game. Morons play it.
Fake lies and
right. Right. It's fake news and fake lies. Right. Exactly. So we'll see what happens. But you get an A for trying.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to our guest today, Bijan, and talk a little bit about your new show.
What's up?
You know, Van Helsing, you play Felix, right?
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about Felix?
Oh, Felix, I mean, the best way to describe him would be kind of like Piggy meets Lord of the Flies, if you guys have ever read that book. Poor kid, poor kid. He's just good kid in the wrong place, dealing with the wrong people. And... it's just a shitty situation for him.
all the time.
I just remember playing the character thinking, when am I going to stop being a bitch? I'm just constantly, everyone's just above you and has more power. And you're just like, crap, man. Yeah.
And then you randomly, I thought you had the most interesting story. You randomly were discovered by an agent, right? You weren't necessarily seeking out an agent, were you?
Not at all. I remember I was still in Toronto and I was just starting to look for agents and whatnot. And I don't know if you know the site Casting Workbook, but I made an account on that like 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I didn't know how to change my city of residence from Vancouver to Toronto. So it was Vancouver for 3 years, and that account just lied dormant because I was like, whatever, screw this. And that's how she found me. She thought I lived in Vancouver because of the site. Wow. And I was like, no, because I saw 604, and I'm like, what is that? Like, I don't know what that is. But yeah, so she's like, oh, we really like you. Why don't you come out and visit us? And that was that. I just went over there, and I was like, I like you too.
This is a perfect
hire me a job.
Hire me. Give me a job. I'm available.
And now I'm here in front of you guys.
Awesome.
So.
I mean, if you, I mean, when I saw 2 to 3 years, it takes people 7, 10, overnight success is 7 in LA, and you came from Canada and you got the job.
A typo.
Right.
I know.
Right.
Crazy things happen.
Still got a ways to go, but it's definitely like accelerated right now. So, because I know of people who have been doing this way longer than I have and have yet to book a one-liner, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're grinding, they're trying so hard, and I feel for them and all, but
He's like, but I got a job.
But I feel my
bill for you.
I receive my blessing.
I receive my paycheck that comes every 2 weeks.
And I'm going to keep hustling too.
Yeah.
And were you a fan of the show prior to? Had you watched it?
Never watched the show before. Guilty, but I'm going to be honest. I never watched the show before. Mm-hmm. But after receiving the audition request, I was just sort of like, all right, well, I need to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I just kind of watched it to get a vibe for the show, to see what everyone else is doing. And then I was like, all right, I can see myself on this. Yeah. I call some friends. I'm like, yo, what y'all think of this show? And they're just like, yo, I could definitely see you on that show. And I'm like, word? And they're like, yeah. So, all the positive vibes, and, then I was on the show, so.
And had you been a sci-fi kind of horror fan prior to?
Oh, no, I like my sleep.
He said, I like my sleep.
No.
He said, I like my sleep.
My imagination is healthy. I can't be watching too much.
He said, it's healthy.
I can't be watching too many horror shows, man. I'll be...
Oh. Like, you have a little insomnia.
Have you been desensitized at all from working on Van Helsing?
Well, no.
No?
No.
You still watch it and be like, no,
so like,
I can't.
No, I can't handle this. I can't handle this.
That is amazing.
What's been your favorite episode so far?
Favorite episode to do or
what? For you. Well, either one.
Yeah, You know what? I would have to say the first one that I'm in. I think that's three, episode three. It was immediately you hit the ground running. Yeah. Serious scenes working across from Christopher Heyerdahl.
Yeah.
It was intense. But not once did I ever think that, like, you know, this was... Because it was my first time on a professional set. It was like the first, like, whoa, I got this. And not once was it ever daunting, you know? It felt very... I don't want to say easy, but it was very, like, natural. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't...
Not to be.
Yeah, it wasn't difficult at all. But my favorite scenes or episode would have to be the first one because, like, every scene in the pool is just intense. The ones... Am I allowed to say what happens in the episode? Screw it. You know, when you're, like, I'm getting tortured and whatnot, or the scenes in which I'm, like, dealing with the vampire. It's all, like, very good stuff to watch, and it was fun to do. So. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I mean, I was a fan of obviously the movie when it came out, and then I saw the first season of the show, and I feel like sci-fi has just really stepped up their game overall with their programming. I mean, they're killing it. Ghost Wars to Channel Zero to your show. I mean, and even their in kind of their more independent original movies that they're doing now and putting a lot more out. They're killing the game right now.
Yeah.
You know, sci-fi is the place to be.
Yeah, it really is.
And hiring a lot of people of color for a lot of roles on the network for the different shows.
Yeah. Which is awesome because, you know, getting into it, it's just like, so many opportunity. Yeah. which role is mine?
Yeah. You know? You know?
Hire me.
You know,
hire
me. Yes.
Yeah. And you also have another movie coming out called Dragged Across Concrete. What's that about?
Yeah.
And what's your role in that?
I go from playing this weak kid to playing a hoodlum, you know, find me on the street corner type deal. That one was a lot of fun. That one was a lot of fun because I'm not as gangster as they come, but it was fun to.
I actually need a T-shirt that actually says that. Not as gangster as they come.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you got a T-shirt.
I want that T-shirt.
What do you mean? I'm saying I want that T-shirt.
You need to make that T-shirt.
I was like, wait. That's why I was like, wait. You got one?
Can I get
one
right now? Put that on your website.
Yeah, you need that on your website.
You need that. I want to try and steal it.
Yeah.
Let me get on my phone and try and trademark it real quick.
Hey.
What was it called? Not a gangster right now.
Hold on, man.
Saying, okay. Yeah. You didn't see it from me, no.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. It was a smaller role. It was a much smaller role, but it was my first time on like a feature film. A lot of first times.
Yeah.
First times, right? So it was actually my first time meeting famous people was on that show, or on that movie. Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn, I met them. Vince Vaughn's huge.
Yeah. He's a tall dude.
He's massive.
Yeah, and a really nice guy, but he's
tall. He's so dope. Yeah. I just like walk up, I'm just like, whoa, like you're what?
Tall.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't really, I guess, translate in the movies. You're watching all these movies, but then you see him and you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, he's tall. Beast. He's mad tall.
Yeah, yeah. Met Mel Gibson too.
And cricket.
How was that?
He's all right. Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It was definitely a different vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a cool guy.
That was very politically correct way of saying a lot of things. Like, I was like, I could read into a lot of that. He's like, yeah, it's a different, interesting.
Yeah. But all in all, that was a really good experience too. Yeah.
And then are you working on anything else outside of this movie?
Nothing that I can mention, unfortunately.
Okay.
I wish I could, because I like talking about this stuff. But
but that's why y'all should follow him. So
exactly.
Things come up, you know.
What's your social media so everybody can know?
Yeah. I only use Instagram, so it's Nedorby, so it's like Nedohrb. That's what it is.
Nedorby.
What is that?
What is that?
Well, my full name is Bijan Roden. Well, my full name is Bijan Lorenzo Roden. I don't ever use middle name, but Bijan Roden, and it's just the first initial with the last name backwards. That's all it is.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I went through a phase where I like kept deleting my social media. I'm like, social media is bad, and I couldn't get what I wanted back. So I'm like, and I just put it backwards.
I like that.
Don't roast me.
Because we like, you already got a complicated name. Why you got to turn it right?
Right, now I made it backwards.
Okay, now it makes sense.
If you really want to follow me, you'll find me.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think if you just type my name though,
it comes up.
And then we can also catch you on Thursday nights on Sci-Fi Channel for your show Van Helsing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check the times, different times, and different, you know.
Yes, it's different everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney, where can fans find you?
I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
Boom, everywhere at DJ Jesse J.
And you can find me at Dario Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and on the Reels channel on Friday nights for Broken Famous and Us Weekly's family or Us Weekly Celebrity Feud.
Yep, yep.
And we will definitely be watching you, man, and watching your career grow. It's a pleasure having you, man. Keep us updated on what's going on.
I can come back, right?
Sure. Anytime. Yeah,
we'll love the Canadians.
We always hear on Thursdays.
Yes.
Bring it back.
We always love the Canadians. So congratulations for all the success, man.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
All right, and we'll see you guys next week. Actually, yes, Thanksgiving is next
week. Oh, no.
We won't see y'all next week.
Because
I'll be eating. I'll be eating. So enjoy us today. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Later.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood
Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.